Blog Talk Radio.
Bhagavat Rakara Masayai Namuminadaya Bhamasmana Adaya Martyam Madaya Shyati Mada Martyaya Shyadara Vayam Shatyam Akuna Shyadara Vayam Shatyam Akuna
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And you never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. I hope not everybody just heard me yell for my grandson. I think I was halfway between here and you.
You did not.
So if you
no.
did, I apologize. And if you did not, thank God. But anyway, happy Tuesday. Hi, Pam. Hi, Kate. How are you both today?
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Pam, tell us all about tonight.
All right. Well, tonight we ran a contest for poems inspired by the artwork of Mahmoud Farshian. And Mr. Farshian is a Iranian painter. He was born in Isfahan, Iran, on January 24th, 1930. So he's actually 93 years old, still alive, still involved in the art scene, and he was, his father was a rug merchant, and from a very young age, in fact, by the age of five, it was evident that he was going to have a lifelong pursuit of painting. He studied abroad, then eventually and traveled to the United States, but eventually came back home to Iran. He actually is a founder of his own school, where he teaches, where the school teaches the classical form of Iranian painting while making use of new techniques to broaden the scope of Iranian painting. And it says here, he has brought new life to this art form and has freed it from this symbiotic relationship it has historically had with poetry and literature to give it an independence it has not previously enjoyed. And thanks to Mahmoud, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, Farshian, that Iranian art actually became more well-known throughout the world. Wonderful stuff, beautiful use of colors that delves into mysticism, spirituality, romanticism, and you can look at his artwork and just see all those elements within it. So, we didn't get a huge response, but the stuff we did get is beautifully written, wonderful quality that matches the artwork, and I'm definitely looking forward to the show.
Nice. I love the images. They were beautiful. They really were.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of dreamlike. There's another artist that does something similar. Not the same, but similar enough with color and putting the images together and creating something new. I can't come up with that name, but there's one floating around somewhere in something I wrote. So, it's intriguing to me.
Yeah.
So, beautiful work, though.
Yep.
Beautiful.
And that's not unheard of because, a lot of artists do have similar styles,
Yeah, I think this is a little more spiritual than that one, but it's kind of got the same feel to it. But these are beautiful images, all of them. There was about three of them I would have loved to have sat and written to, but, my brain says, you want a what? That's what it says to me.
Oh, my gosh. I get that. It was absolutely beautiful artwork. Very inspiring. I highly recommend, of course, that anybody who has never looked at his artwork, check it out because, there's just so much.
Right.
So much to, delve into and just, admire and, beautiful stuff.
Absolutely.
I was reading a little bit about him and how he met his wife. Him and his wife actually were in grade school together. And then by high school, he made no secret whatsoever that he was determined to marry her. And his brother, being very mischievous, told him that she was engaged to another man, and he got just really sick with grief. And as this, obviously, she's his wife now. Thankfully, her brothers were nicer than his and went to him and said, no, our sister's not engaged to another man. You know, you need to go talk with, you need to come talk with her. And they've been spending, they got married when she was 17 and he was 24. So they have been married for quite a while now. A lot of his paintings, his wife was the model for them.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah, I thought so.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, girl, I'm all
right.
Tell me what I'm supposed to do for you. We got
well,
nobody else on the line.
What's that?
We have no others on the line yet.
Okay.
Got that under control.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm sure any moment they'll be, you know, rushing and knocking on the door, so we'll go ahead and get started.
Could be. Could be.
All right. Well, we are, of course, going to start out with a classic poem like I like to do on Tuesdays. And, of course, because we are going with an Iranian painter, I did go with a Persian, because Iran used to be a Persia. And so, you know, it's basically the same idea. So I went with a Persian poet by the name of Hafez Shirazi. And this is Arise and Fill a Golden Goblet. Arise and fill a golden goblet up until the wine of pleasure overflow. Before into thy skull's pale empty cup, a grimmer cupbearer the dust shall throw. Yea, to the veil of silence we must come, yet shall the flagon laugh and heaven's dome thrill with an echoing, answering echo, ere we go. Thou knowest that the riches of this field make no abiding. Let the goblet's fire consume the fleeing harvest earth may yield. O cypress tree, green home of love's sweet choir, when I unto the dust I am have passed, forget thy former wantonness and cast thy shadow o'er the dust of my desire. Flow bitter tears and wash me clean, for they whose feet are set upon the road that lies twixt earth and heaven, thou shalt be pure, they say. Before unto the pure thou lift thine eyes, seeing but himself, the zealot sees but sin, grief to the mirror of his soul let in, O Lord, and clouded with the breath of sighs. No tainted eye shall gaze upon her face, no glass but that of an unsullied heart shall dare reflect my lady's perfect grace. Though like to snakes that from the herbage start, the curling locks have wounded me full sore. Thy red lips hold the power of the bazaar. Ah, touch and heat me where I lie apart. And when from her the wind blows perfume sweet, tear her half is like the rose thy robe into, and cast thy rags beneath her flying feet to deck the place thy mistress passes through. And that was translated by Gertrude Bell. I'm not actually 100% sure what language it would have been you know, originally written in, but I apologize for that, but yes. And Weaver, your thoughts on this classic poem?
Oh, beautifully translated, and that must have been beautiful in the language it was supposed to be as well, I suppose. It's nice to hear the words in the language that they were first written in, but it wouldn't be any good to us, obviously, so having them translated is wonderful. I like it's... what caught me, what really got me was when I unto the dust I am have passed, forget the form, thy shadow or the dust of my desire. Flow bitter tears and wash me clean, for they whose feet are set upon the road that lies twixt earth and heaven, thou shalt be pure, they say. That's just lovely. I really like that a lot. But I also like that, which I don't actually know 100% what it means, but arise and fill a golden goblet up until the wine of pleasure overflow before into thy skull, pale empty cup, a grimmer cupbearer the dust shall throw. Now that's really deep. I like that a lot. But I'm thinking, yes, all right, you have a golden goblet, but there's going to come a time when things are not going to be quite as wonderful and the dust will be thrown upon thou. Oh, lovely. I think it's really lovely.
Yes, I think you actually have a really good observation there about how it's about those pleasures of life that you must enjoy in the moment, because eventually, as you said, you will be that skull, you will be covered by dust. So, very cool. And Jean, your thoughts on this classic poem?
You know, I think the poem itself was wonderful. And I looked over at the information that's here for Hafiz, and it says 1326. And I believe that was right in there, a fervent follower of the works of Rumi. And if I remember correctly, when I did that big show on Rumi years back, they had known one another, if I'm not mistaken. God, you know, I could really make a mess of saying these things. And I found it to be very cool that you found this poem by him. Just wonderful, wonderful wording, wonderful thoughts. And as I always find remarkable, it's relatable in today's world. You know, some of it's a little, you know, different in wording wise and what have you. But basically, the thoughts haven't changed much through the years, really. But very well done, and yeah, it was a great piece. So nice choice, Pam, as always.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was reading that he was actually a big fan. I didn't say big fan, but, you know, that he really admired the work of Rumi and was actually supposedly had his poetry memorized. You know, whether or not that's true, I don't know, but I assume he at least had to have gotten pretty close for people to have started that rumor.
I think I remember hearing something about Hafez and Rumi's daughter at one point. So that's what makes me doubt the story, because you had a whole different story about him and his wife. So it makes me kind of curious. But I have to check it out. You know, I have to do that later.
Because
I have to be able to. Yeah, I find it intriguing all the way around. So, yep. I like it.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. But yeah, I thought this was a beautiful poem that spoke on love and life and death. And it really had a spiritual quality to it that spoke on, rather than seeing the ugliness and sin within, take a look at the beauty before you. The way life offers up these opportunities of beautiful moments. So wonderful lines and very well done.
Right. Much agree.
Absolutely. And let's see what we have next. All right. Up next we have The Necromancer's Tale by Mystic Muse. And Jean, would you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. I just have to pray I don't trip all over it. Here we go. Okay, The Necromancer's Tale by Mystic Muse. Let me do that again. The Necromancer's Tale by Mystic Muse. The necromancer weaves his spells inside his hidden lair, and any time, both day and night, you'll find him working it. He spends his time creating balms and potions meant to heal, and to the ones who come to him, his magic is very real. The doctors in the kingdom see him as a kooky threat, Every time he cures the sick, they break into a sweat. They know they are behind the times, their practices a lie. yet they won't learn the magic arts of patience, and patients often die. The necromancer knows the docs are all a bunch of quacks, but he is wise and pays no mind to insult and attack. While seeking every day to find remedies and cures, he stays inside his modest lair and patience endures. And so.
Great read, Jean. I thought this was a wonderful write and great takeoff of the chosen prompt. You know, as always, you've got spot on metered rhyme. I like how the main message to this of this to me is that people fear what they don't understand, and oftentimes are afraid to think outside of the box, especially when it comes to healing, you know. And I really like how he tells the story of this healer that other doctors, you know, see as a threat. The doctors in the kingdom see him as a cookie threat, yet every time he cures the sick, they break into a sweat. They know they are behind the times, their practice is a lie, yet they won't learn the magic arts, and patients often die. You know, it's a strong line right there that speaking on, you know, doctors, healers who would rather stick with their old ways than learn something that would might actually help their patients. So wonderful line and very well, wonderful line and very well done. And Kate, your thoughts?
Yes, I like this a lot. I really did. And as you say, he's got it spot on. Because it's true. Because if they admit that what he does is better and is actually healing people, they then admit that they are not doing the precise thing that he is doing. And then that means that all of their patients are going to go, well, why did we bother coming to you then? Well, yeah, I can imagine people, they do find it difficult to accept things that are not. People like a crowd. People like a group. People don't like to be a one. They like to be a many, because there's power and there's safety in a group. But if you stand by yourself and stand on your own, yeah, it's easy to get to you. So, yes, I can understand why they do, but they shouldn't. People have got to learn. Yeah, I thought it was brilliantly done. Yeah.
Yeah, there is definitely a reason why the phrase mob mentality came about.
Yeah.
And it was exactly for that reason. Oh, great comment. And Jean, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Thanks. Other than the three times I tripped, I appreciate that comment. I feel bad when I do that, especially with Dave. That when he gets perfect rhyme and meter in there and I start tripping, I'm like, whatever. You know, I feel like I failed miserably. But I thought this was just a nicely done piece. Great story told in perfect rhyme and meter. I grabbed up these two stanzas. They were all good. The necromancer knows the docs are all a bunch of quacks, but he is wise and pays no mind. While seeking every day to find new remedies and cures, he stays inside his modest lair and patiently endures. I really enjoyed it. So well done, Dave. Thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. You see what Dave wrote in the LNP? He put, Gene be tripping. Must be those shrooms.
As soon as they're tripping over my own teeth, it's terrible. But I know what he means, that silly boy. Boy, oh boy.
Oh, too funny. Too funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
And great comments, Jean. All right. Well, up next we have Tricked into Eternal Suffering by Jenny the Deep. And Kate, would you give that a read for us, please?
I certainly will. Here we go. Tricked into Eternal Suffering. 17 swirling spellbound spirits swimming, synchronized, sluggishly in white smoke singing. Being swept away by angels in disguise, dancing to blindly kneel before the angelic king humbly. Guaranteed immortality if they die, falling upon his steel blade of sacrifice. daring to reject his kind and only offer, a life less spent in servitude, they would suffer. 5 out of 7 were fooled, paying the price. For immortality, he took their mortal lives, enduring kissing royalty's feet on their knees, crying in agony, regretting their feet. Listening to the correct angel, two were wise, for they received the real prize. Everlasting life in the heavens, only 2 made it, not 17, not even 7. End poem.
Great read, Kate, and a wonderful write by Jenny, who took multiple props and says she made a poetic story with them. And Jean, your thoughts?
I think that this was a really well-done tale, you know, all the way through. I started to wonder if she was leaning on the Sufi angle of things, but I don't think that that was where it came from. I think it just came out of the images, because there's something, well, anyway, I'm not going to get into it. But I think it was a really brilliantly done story that she told here, and it works well with all the images, really. Because you can see pieces of it, you know, throughout. You know, there's so many images and so much going on in each one that you can pull pieces out and make this all completely relevant in each one. So excellent job, Jenny, and thanks for sharing. Great addition to the show.
Absolutely. Yeah, this was actually one of the few times, because usually I limit myself when it comes to prompts between 12 to 16. Sometimes I do a little less, but this one, mm-hmm. I kept finding so many beautiful paintings that I really liked that I ended up putting like 30 up in the contest. So it was good to see Jenny stitch some of them together into a story, you know.
Yeah.
And you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I did stumble a little bit. I do apologize. It's not always easy, but the alliteration was wonderful. I do like alliteration. I just don't want to read it out loud. 17 swirling, spellbound spirits swimming, synchronized, sluggishly. That's the one that got me, sluggishly. Ah, and white smoke singing. I'm so annoyed at myself. Being swept away by angels in disguise, dancing to blindly kneel before the angelic king humbly. Yes, I mean, you can see that she's got all these different aspects from all these different paintings, and she has made a story from them, which is, well, that's very good going. I thought the paintings themselves are absolutely wonderful, but as you say, there is so much in each one. I saw at least 7 that I could have written to. But I knew the one I wanted when I got to it, so I can understand it's not easy. But yes, it's very well done, and as you say, a great addition to the show. So thank you, Jenny, for sharing.
Absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree. Yeah, this is beautifully written. I like that. To me, the main message is, you know, the idea of people who are tricked into believing falsehoods. And you know, end up getting led down the wrong path. I thought the storytelling fit really well with the artwork. I really like daring to reject his kind and only offer, a life spent in servitude they would suffer. 5 out of 7 were fooled, paying the price for immortality. He took their mortal lives, enduring kissing royalty's feet on their knees, crying in agony, regretting their feet. You know, I like how there's a mythology element to the story, in its way, and yet it's relatable, because I think we've all, not to obviously this extreme, but we've all made decisions or choices in life that we later regretted. Storytelling and very well done. All right. Suppose it would help if I went and grabbed the next poem. All right, let's do that. Doo-doo-doo. All right. And let's see. What does Jenny say? She says, not on purpose. I didn't just show up for my laugh out loud. Been here off and on cooking, eating. Sure, Jenny. Yeah.
That's what they all say.
Yeah. Remember, Jenny, we only give a hard time to people we like. So there you go. And that, and I want to know what she's cooking for us. Like, what are we having for dinner tonight, Jenny?
That's right. That's what we want to know.
Inquiring minds want to know. All right. Well, up next is Rejected by Julie Buck. And it goes like this. Too many faces from my past, not wanting me anymore, but they appear now and again just to remind me where I've been, watching the demise of me I never thought I'd see. Being old is like decomposing when still alive. Ever been so down that capping an eye was too much effort? And you find yourself crying, but not exactly sure why. Ever reach and nothing is there? Ever hear she's in a better place now and only the word liar comes to mind? Ever given more than you have to give, then wonder how are you to live? No world is out to get me, but I do get myself lost in thought. I'm so far removed. I'm only a dot. End poem. Oh, that is a beautiful and thoughtful write. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, this is, as you say, beautiful. But so much pathos, so much heart. It's certainly telling you that things are not always wonderful. Here's someone who's finding things not wonderful at all. Watching the demise of me I never thought I'd see. Being old is like decomposing when still alive. Oh, that's a deep, dark thought. We don't like that. No, you shouldn't think like that. You've got to think up, up, up. Up, up. But yes, I think this is beautifully, beautifully done. I mean, you've got exactly what she's feeling right there in front of you. But you're not only a dot. You're certainly not only a dot. So I thought it was beautifully written. And thank you so much for sharing it with us, Julie.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
I thought this was a really well done piece by Julie. It's a lot to take in, you know, because it doesn't make you back up when you start to read it, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, you got to get a little deeper in this. Wonderful take. I'm not sure which prompt is prompt 30, but that's all right. I thought it was wonderfully done, nicely penned thoughts. And I grabbed up these lines, ever reach and nothing is there. Ever hear she's in a better place now. And only the word liar comes to mind. Ever given more than you have to give, then wonder how you're going to live. No world is out to get me, but I do get myself lost in thought. I'm so far removed, I'm only a dot. Yeah, the world is a big place, isn't it? And it's easy to feel like a dot. You know, depending on how things are going down around you. I think Julie did an exceptional job with this. You know, normally, you know, she does wonderful work all the time, but I think that this one is really something and really well penned. So nice work, Julie, and thanks for sharing with us. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And great observation there, Jean. I do have to agree with you that, you know, the world can seem like a lonely place because it's so large and so overwhelming, and it's easy to feel small in it. I like the imagery and metaphors in this. I like, you know, where she says, ever been so down that capping an eye was too much effort, and you find yourself crying but not exactly sure why. You know, that's a great line, strong lines on speaking on depression. And, of course, you know, ever been so down that capping an eye was too much effort makes me think of how E.E. Cummings and how he never capitalized his eyes. And then it got me thinking, gee, was there a reason other than the fact that he just decided to start his own style? You know, maybe he was just, you know, too down to bother with it. But, you know, I like that. I thought this was a stunning write all the way through. And I like those lines that, you know, where she speaks on, where is it then? No world is out to get me, but I do get myself. And I felt like there's a duality in that. First of all, there's the understanding of yourself when the world doesn't understand you, but it's also the idea like of self-sabotage. You know, I think, you know, oftentimes it's so easy to make something come true because we you know, self-sabotage. So great write and very well done. All right. I like that blue that she chose to use for the background. I don't know if that's a regular. Yeah, that really is beautiful. I don't know if that's one just offered up by All Poetry or if she found it somewhere, but it was a really nice choice for the poem.
Yeah.
And up next we have Blushing Deer by Poetic Creations. And Jean, will you give that a read for us, please?
Nope. I just felt like being difficult. Don't mind me. My favoriteest thing to be difficult. Okay, this is called Blushing Deer by Poetic Creations. Angel wings in a cosmic swirl, blue and gold feathers unfurl. Strings of a harp made of pearl, birds of paradise colors whirl. A blood moon brings rapture, stresses and pains fracture. For a bronze body captured by honey out in the pasture. Peace is naturally made golden, and it's not made to hold it. In the right hands, it can be emboldened, but anger rises when stolen. Kiss your deer and hold on tight. Dodge the bull that's fight with ramming horns in the night. Best to avoid another fight. End poem.
Great read there, Jean, and a wonderful write by Poetic Creations. Strong imagery and metaphors, great rhyme within this. And I really like how this spoke on lust and passion and a sense of, there was almost a sense of violence and fighting within it. And out of control emotions. I really particularly was drawn to a blood moon brings rapture, stresses and pains fracture for a bronze body captured by honey out in the pasture. That the idea that speaks well on temptation. And then peace is naturally made golden and is not made to hold in. In the right hands it can embolden, but anger rises when stolen. Yeah, I like how it speaks on the idea of emotions out of control. So wonderful lines and very well done. And Kate, your thoughts?
Yes, I agree. It's beautifully done. I love and that the stanza that you read out was one that I thought was particularly great. I liked it a lot. It's the lovely play with the words. You know, it's just it's beautiful. So I love the last stanza, kiss your deer and hold on tight. Dodge the bull that spites with lambing horns in the night. Best to avoid another fight. Yes, possibly. Possibly sometimes. Sometimes saying what you think or making yourself vocal is not the right thing to do. Sometimes just quietly going to bed and not bothering to fight about anything is a very good idea. But yeah, I like it a lot. I think it's it was very, very interesting. And well written. So thank you so much, Poetic Creations, for sharing.
Absolutely. And definitely words of wisdom there, Kate. I believe that's a pretty common saying. And they say, what do they say? Don't go to bed angry.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's not always avoidable, though. But, you know, it is good advice, that's for sure. And Jean, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
I like this piece. I thought it was well penned and nicely rhymed throughout. And, you know, I much enjoyed the lead-in stanza for the piece. Angel wings in a cosmic swirl, blue and gold feathers on a furl, strings of a harp made of pearl, birds of paradise, colors whirl. You know, I don't see a specific image tagged here as the one he worked from. So he may have also combined thoughts throughout the images themselves. But I can see bits and pieces of different images in this poem. You know, there's a couple that are somewhat similar, you know, color-wise, thought-wise. I'm not sure if it's one or it's more, but I think that he really did a nice job pulling it all together into this one, right? So nice job, Poetic Creations, and thank you for sharing with us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And yes, I do prefer when people actually put the prompt number or the prompt that they wrote to in their AN, because then it gives me a better idea. But as you said, you can see, especially the word choices where it says, birds of paradise, colors whirl, because the artist's circular motions when painting a lot of his artwork. And yes, absolutely. Great observation. All right. Well, let's see what we have next. I'm looking at something. All right. I think we have about 11 rights left. So, ladies, we have to either make long comments or, well.
Eat slow.
Start singing. We'll have to in between song and dance shows or breaks. There you go.
I can dance. Kate will have to
sing. I can sing.
Yeah.
I know songs.
There you go. And I can, with a cold beer, and watch both of you.
That's
talented. You like it.
Just give me a shout. I know a song that'll get on your nerves. Get on your nerves. Get on your nerves. I know a song that'll get on your nerves. It has.
Oh,
I love that.
Too funny.
We are not well.
Nope.
But we are the Twisted Sisters.
Oh, definitely.
That kind of sums it up.
And I'm so pleased.
That's right. Like you said, there's a reason they call us the Twisted Sisters.
That's right. That's us.
And all right. Mm-hmm. Well, up next we have On a Magic Carpet Ride by Vamped Vixen. And it goes like this. In the springtime of Parisopolis, out in the gardens of true delight, this Eden blooms forth bright and bold, swirling colors by brushstroke, charting ancient astronomy, traveling the Silk Road, trading saffron spices for stories written by storytellers, Shirinzate. This is a Persia that will rise like a phoenix, full of fire, meant to soar to the skies, up above palaces of an expansive empire, endowed blessings of Zoroastrian angels, ladies in waiting, sway sweetly by dulcimer, frolicking with gazelles of the deep oasis as noble warriors mount their steeds. In this land, exotic and rare, flowing fountains fill lush courtyards with scent of cardamom in the sultry breeze, while nightingales cry out to caravans, beckoning travelers to cross the desert dunes, to see their priests and mystic scholars, their philosophers and mighty kings, whirl and twirl into these ancient scenes, belly dancing its coin belt, jingle, jangle wildly, while peacocks graze by sashaying jasmine, place myrrh and frankincense at their temple, as the fantasy and wonder of ancient Persia takes you on a magic carpet ride and poem. And Vamp Vixen says in her AN, I used a whole bunch of these prompts and basically the ideals of painter Mahmoud Farshian, who sought to show ancient Persia in all its mystical majesty. And I really do feel like she has definitely captured the spirit of that artwork and that idea. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I'm not on mute. Everybody should be impressed. Second of all, I thought there was beautiful imagery throughout this great piece. The story she created with the images I thought was outstanding. Just really wonderful, imagery here. I was like reading it down with you, Pam, and I'm like, man, what would I take? I have to say, I kind of enjoyed the imagery and thoughts in that last stanza. Whirl and twirl into these ancient themes, belly dancing as coin belts jingle jangle wildly, while peacocks graze by sashang jasmine, place myrrh and frankincense at their temple, as the fantasy and wonder of ancient Persia takes you on a magic carpet ride. I love that. I thought that was a wonderful ending stanza for this piece and very well pulled together. So excellent job, Vamp Vixen. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Great job there.
Oh, absolutely. And, I have to agree about the stanza. I thought not only was the imagery nice, but the word choice gave it a great sense of movement. So nice comment there. And Kate, you did, you didn't do a wonderful read of that. I did a wonderful read of that. Not really, but I just looked into the habit of the second person I call on going, you did a wonderful read of that.
My God.
Oh, I know what it's like. I often forget when I've read something. I don't know who read it. It's awful. Yes, I thought this was so clever. This is so lyrical. And the word choices are absolutely wonderful. I mean, where was the one I loved? The one talking about the Persian saffron. Yeah, charting ancient astronomy, traveling the Silk Road, trading saffron spices for stories written by storyteller Scheherazade. This is a Persia that will rise like a phoenix, full of fire, meant to soar to the skies, up above palaces of an expansive empire. Now that is just beautiful. I mean, there's obviously been work put into this, where there's been, unless it's something that Vampid Vixen knew about already, but either that or, she's read up and found out all about it. But I think it's just brilliant. I'm really impressed. Really am. I am impressed with a lot of our poets, but I just think this one is just lovely. It's just so, just flows beautifully. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree. And that stanza was great because it did reflect on the history of ancient Persia and the Silk Road, where there was a lot of trading of silk, spices and other merchandise. And I thought her attention to detail was really wonderful. I really particularly like where she says, in this land exotic and rare, flowing fountains fill lush courtyards with scent of cardamom in the sultry breeze. I love the smell of cardamom. I put that in my, along with cinnamon and nutmeg, in my rhubarb crisp that I made tonight. And,
nice.
So those kind of the saffron, the cardamom, the mention of those spices, I thought was a really nice detail within the rite. A stunning imagery all the way through, and a great tribute to the artwork.
Could I just ask, Pam? Yes. Did you say rhubarb crisp? Rhubarb.
Yes, crisp. Rhubarb crisp.
Wow, it sounds fabulous. Oh, you please send me the recipe. It sounds wonderful. I have got
don't get
generation.
Us started on sending recipes.
Oh yes.
Tell her, Pam.
I am. I have third generation rhubarb. My grandfather had it, and he gave some of it to my dad, and my dad gave some of it to me. So I have third generation rhubarb, and I'm very proud of it.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That is awesome. That is. Yeah, well, and the thing is like, I know rhubarb, once you can get the stuff growing, you know, it just comes back every year.
Mm-hmm.
So good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, yep. You ever make a...
Just for the record, on the rhubarb department, today I read that if you dig it up and you split it up, you can get more of it next year. Just saying.
Yes,
they say you can divide it up. I don't know who knows that, but I did not.
Wow. That is actually good to know. Something that's actually really good, it's a little tedious to make, but not too bad, and I'll send you the recipe if you've ever had it before. But have either of you ever tried rhubarb aid? It's like lemonade, but made with rhubarb.
No. Oh, I'd love to.
Well, I'll have to send you both the recipe.
Yes, please.
It does involve boiling the rhubarb in the water and then straining it and mixing in the sugar and then letting it cool down with ice. But it's actually really tasty. It's that, you know, well, like lemony. It's similar to that because, you know, rhubarb is tart and then you add the sugar and water to it. So,
lovely.
There we go. With my luck, I'll be cooking up a whole tart and I'll be dead. It's okay.
Oh, dear.
Just saying. I got that talent.
Well, talking about recipes, I've been making peanut butter cookies, and it's just three ingredients, and it's absolutely magic. I love them. I've been making them all week.
Oh, my goodness.
They're getting eaten. So I'll send you the recipe for that. Peanut butter and egg and sugar. That's it.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
I like some simple recipes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, up next we have Violet Moonlight by Betty Page. And Kate, would you give that a read for us, please?
I certainly will. Right. Violet Moonlight. Night softly cascades in sweet shades of violet, sensual moonlight. Romantic daydreams, fantasies consume my mind. Dark, adventurous, jasmine-scented, surround pretty, melancholy rose, lusciously allures. Enchants with passions, mesmerizing magnetic goddesses of night. Swirling, whimsical, enticing, magically poetic wizards. Cascading sweet words, pure love's overflowing, fall sparkling crystal blue. Take a ride so high. Mystical magic carpets, limousine service. Gaze out your windows, deep into new time portals. Create a new life. Sing so enchanting, lure your kind to come inside luxury's bedrooms. Velvet soft plush lips, passionately making love. Oh, sorry. Not now. My PC's trying to start itself. Stupid thing. Oh, sorry. Velvet soft plush lips, passionately making love, kissing tenderly neath violet skies, shimmering, glistening, sweet, beautiful starlight. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Kate. Even with your PC trying to be a pain in the butt. Yep. You still managed to plow through, and that was awesome. This is beautifully written. It has a tender, melancholy feel to it. Like, you can just, you know, I like how she uses the imagery in 5-7-5 lines to create a story. And you can almost see this woman trapped in this life. Take a ride so high, mystical magic carpets, limousine service, gaze out your windows, deep into new time portals, create a new life. You know, it has a very much an Aladdin, a Disney Aladdin type feel, but it also works well on a level of representing anybody who feels trapped within a life that they don't want to be. It's that representation of the golden cage where it's beautiful, but there's so much more out there in the world to be experienced. I thought Swirling Whimsical, Enticing Magically Poetic Wizard, Cascading Sweet Words, Pure Love's Overflowing Fall, Sparkling Crystal Blue, worked really well with the imagery for the chosen prompt and for the artwork in general, and just had a really nice touch of romanticism to it. So great write and very well done, Betty. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I thought that this was a wonderful piece by Betty. There was great imagery, and I went over and I looked at prompt number 5, and, you know, it has a little bit of a melancholy feel to it, like a vibe, because of the colors that were used and stuff. It wasn't bright and, you know, colorful and in your face. But I thought there was great imagery and so many sweet, sensual thoughts throughout this piece. Just really well done. You know, sensuality is one thing that Betty always does and does a fine job with it. And it was kind of, it fit in well here. It did. It was a different kind of an image. So it was nice work, Betty, and thanks for sharing with us. Maybe someday you'll call in and join us. That would be fun. You could join us on a Tuesday and be a Twisted Sister for the day. We know you fit that bill more than one day, but we'll share with you. See? Right, Pam? Tell her.
There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, Betty would make a wonderful Twisted Sister to, you know, join us on a show. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, you know, Twisted Sisters, Twisted Misters are all welcome.
We named the children. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. But wonderful comment. And Kate, you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
I have to apologize, Betty. I'm sorry about my PC spawning in the middle of your beautiful piece of poetry. Damn thing. But anyway, now, I know you said you were looking at 5. Was it Jean? Did you say you were looking at prompt 5? Because I think this is prompt 7, which is what I wrote.
Oh, it's 5. Oh, yeah. Poem
5,000.
Okay, there you go. I stand corrected.
Not at all. Just I thought, hello, it sounds like the one that I was writing to, and it looks like it too, with the violet color.
I'm gonna go.
Anyway, yeah, how about the feeling? You'll like it. Yeah.
Oh, yes, there you go.
Cascading sweet words, pure love's overflowing falls, sparkling crystal blue. Yeah, I thought it was beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. Looking out the window as if it was a portal into another world, which, you know, we can do sometimes. You know, it happens. You're thinking, why am I here? I should be somewhere else. You think where you are in your life and you should be doing something different. And the point is sometimes you're trapped and you can't make a change. It's easy for people to say, oh, you know, go and do something different, or oh, change your life. It's not that easy. It really isn't. There are things that tie you to where you are. And romantic daydreams are wonderful because they allow your mind to escape for a little while. But yes, yeah, so I thought it was beautifully written. And thank you, Betty, for sharing.
Absolutely. And that is so true. You know, sometimes it really helps to be able to just, you know, not all the time, because that could be a concern, but to occasionally be able to escape within that realm of daydreams. So great comment there, Kate. All right. Up next, we have The Womb by Mel C. And Jean, will you give that a read for us, please?
I will. I just got a picture of it. I can't mix up with them. Do it. Okay, this is called The Womb by Mel C. The womb, that old cocoon. I can only feel comfort here. Washed away are all my tears. Submerged are all my fears. Swish and swash, entangled. Heart beating. Am I breathing? Just dreaming of a life to live. Beyond the barriers, can I break through? Comfort controls here. Numbness nullifies existence. There is no resistance. a sense of subservience. A place that placates, in the blue I swoon. Protective powers, they envelop me. There is no escape, trapped in tranquility. In all its bestowed beauty, I drown. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Jean, and a beautiful write by Mel C. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, another beautifully written, clever piece of poetry. That's lovely. The words she uses and the way she plays with them, and so easily. I know it isn't easy, you know, I know it's not, but it looks as if it is, which is what you want. But you have this just dreaming of a life to live beyond the barriers. Can I break through? Comfort controls here. Numbness nullifies existence. There is no resistance. A sense of subversance. I could say that earlier, but I can't say that now. Anyway, you know what I mean. I thought it was beautiful. I really did. I really enjoyed it. It's just that last stanza really hit home for me, really made me think. There is no escape, trapped in tranquility. In all its bestowed beauty, I drown. Like I was saying before, you know, you are where you are, and it can sometimes be wonderful, but sometimes you are trapped. It looks wonderful. It looks as if it's where you should be and where you should want to be. But sometimes it just isn't. You're just drowning in this kind of peaceful tranquility that you don't really want. So, yes, I thought it was very clever. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, absolutely. And I like that you touched upon that what came through in the end is the idea of, you know, being somewhere where everything seems perfect and seems beautiful, and yet there's this sense of being trapped, this sense of defeat. So, great comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I think that I'm with you there, Pam, because I was like reading this, and I'm like, normally when someone speaks of the womb, it's just a very comforting and serene placement. The thoughts are serene. You know, it's protected and safe and what have you. Whereas this is different. It is and it isn't the same. You know, the womb, that old cocoon. I can feel comfort here. Washed away are all my tears, submerged are all my fears. Swish and swash, entangled, heart beating. Am I breathing? And then it turns around, and it turns into something just a little different. And I thought that to be kind of surprising, you know. You know, just dreaming of a life to live beyond the barrier. Can I break through? And it just turns that whole thought around. And I thought that that was clever. And interesting at the same time. So just a really nicely penned piece, and I thought it was a really good take on the prompt, something different. Because when you look at the prompt, it's not necessarily even a womb, but the actual looking at it and going there, I can totally, you know, see how that could be the title of the prompt. And it was just really well done. So, Mel C, you did a great job with this, and thanks for sharing with us. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I have to agree. Yeah, absolutely. Her translation, her understanding of this painting, seeing it as a womb, I thought that was very creative and very thoughtful. I like how this speaks on that idea of comfort, and then that idea of where, and then where she goes, and this is a strong write all the way through, but where it says comfort controls here, numbness nullifies existence, there is no resistance, a sense of subservience. It really speaks on the idea of power, the powers that be, you know, making the people satiated and numb and subservient. You know, wanting to escape from that, but not being able to, you know, powerful imagery and metaphors all the way through and very well done. So I like that. I like it. I have to say I've been very impressed with the poetry tonight. Beautifully written. All right. I am going to, because I just picked an icky tick off of myself that I need to go kill. I am going to put up Blindness by S. Sharp, and I'm going to have Eugene play the SoundCloud and leave the comments, and I'll be right back.
Did you say Eugene? You know he's not around, right?
In that case, do you think you could do it, Gene?
Sure, I could do that. Okay, here we go. Is it up? It's up. Okay, Blindness by S. Sharp. And here we go.
Blindness, vacuous stare, whitewashed eyes, blindfolded by scarlet fever, shielding eyes and ears, fog and silence, Helen Keller rising, braille-like above the page. Homer, warrior's words stricken from day by night, flailing open wounds of man laid open upon yet unbloodied page. Hateful to me as the gates of Hades is that man who hides one thing in his heart and speaks another, blinded, but not in thought, nor art. Let mine locution slice yon page of man, as if the tendon of Achilles, light passing through dilated pupils, inside out, not outside in. Life laced in words, stronger than sight, hearing, or muscle of a thousand men. Milton pitched in darkness, wicked weave of truth and lies, and medias res, behind darkened eyes, lost like Lucifer to Venus, blind man, representative to mankind, symbol to humanity, traversing the pages of Eden, rolling hills encircling God's realm, knowledge in the form of golden leaves, fruit bitten, tongue swallowed, upheaval, spewing the vomit of perfection upon the barren grounds of knowledge, pandemonium, sight and synapsis, shattering the silence, the outside darkness, in color, in light, gleaming sword of hope, or in the arms of the plight of man, hovering in anticipation over the freshly dried papyrus.
What a wonderful piece. Kate, would you like to start us off on this piece?
Yes, of course. I'd be happy to.
So,
this is epic. This is all about blindness. We start off with Helen Keller, which I think has got to be the most inspirational of anything I've heard of. Amazing. And Homer. And who else did I see? Milton. Milton pitched in darkness, wicked weave of truth and lies, in medias res behind darkened eyes, lost like Lucifer to Venus, blind man, representative to mankind, symbol to humanity. Yep, all of it is so beautifully written. And again, that last stanza brings everything together, doesn't it? Sight in synapses, shattering the silence, the outside darkness in color and light, gleaming sword of hope, or in the arms of the plight of man, hovering in anticipation over the freshly dried papyrus. Yes, that's where it all starts, of course, with her, with people writing on papyrus and passing down knowledge and that gleaming sword of hope. which, let's face it, sometimes is a little bit dull. And I think this is beautifully written. I really do. And speaks of all these different people who have something to say, something to talk about, and something to give to the world. So I thought it was beautifully written. Thank you, S. Sharp.
Absolutely. Great comment, Kate. You know, I thought that this was just a really well-done take on the chosen prompts. I found it intriguing because the image itself is the kneeling angel that was blindfolded with a sword in her hand. And, it reminded me of, blind justice. And I like how he carried it all throughout here. Homer, warrior's words stricken from day by night, flailing open wounds of man laid open. Upon the unbloodied page, hateful to me as the gates of Hades is that man who hides one thing in his heart and speaks another, blinded but not in thought nor art. Let mind locutioner splice yon page of man as the tendon of Achilles. Just amazing thoughts throughout this piece. Scott has a wonderful way of coming up with something, and he works that thread in a couple different directions sometimes, and really just does a wonderful job with it. You know, you mentioned Helen Keller from the first. We got Homer and Achilles and all that mentioned in the second, then he goes into Milton. And I think it was just really a very well thought through piece and nicely penned. And yeah, a great addition to the show. Again, it's wonderful work. So yeah, thanks for sharing, Scott. Kim, are you here?
I am, yes. Yes,
right,
and I have to agree. It definitely is it's a thoughtful and intelligent write. I was looking down at the comments where I had noticed Beneath Gray's comment, Scott had commented, each writer being blind and each helping a world to see their vision. And, yeah, I did actually know, obviously, that Helen Keller is blind because pretty much everybody knows that, and that Homer was blind, but I didn't know that Milton was. But I like that because, it really adds a depth to the write and reminds us that oftentimes the people who are the most blind are the ones who see perfectly with their eyes but aren't willing to open their mind and open their hearts. Great word choice, great use of imagery. I like that he brings in these different authors that speak and teach on spirituality in their own way and open people's minds and open people's hearts. I really liked the part all the way through about Homer, but really a great write all the way through. And I like knowledge in the form of golden leaves, fruit bitten, tongue swallowed, upheaval spewing the vomit of perfection upon the barren grounds of knowledge, pandemonium. Spewing the vomit of perfection upon the barren grounds, I thought was a great way to speak, to me anyways, on the idea of that true beauty is found in imperfection. And, of course, I really liked that he chose to use the freshly dried papyrus as a representation of paper. A gleaming sword of hope or in the arms of the plight of man hovering in anticipation over the freshly dried papyrus. And you can just see, people waiting in for anticipation for those next words of wisdom that will guide them. So beautiful write and very well done.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see what we got next. Up next, we have Hearken by Weaver of Dreams. And Kate, you were nice enough to supply us with a SoundCloud. So whenever you're ready, Jean.
Here we go.
The world was hushed for a moment. In the stillness, she heard a voice that seemed as old as time, resonating within her body like a plucked string. Hearken to me, sweet maid, I beseech thee. Startled, she gasped, who art thou?
I am the oldest living thing upon this planet. I wish to aid and guide thee on thy journey. There are pitfalls and cunning traps before thee. Why is it that I cannot see thee? Show thyself. I am beside thee, but thou seest me not, for neither do I jump nor run. I am immobile. If this be some jest played on me, it amuses not. Leave my sacred garden and never return. Ah, I tried, said the ancient tree, and once more I failed. She will be sacrificed as those before her.
Wonderful storytelling there, Jean. I really like the interaction between the tree and the woman. It slightly reminds me of the story of the giving tree. But instead of the tree being sacrificed, it's the woman. And the tree is offering up this opportunity to be saved. Trying to get this woman to understand. I love your use of the more old-fashioned language. Hearken to me, sweet maid, I beseech thee. Startled, she gasped. Who art thou? I am the oldest living thing upon this planet. I wish to aid and guide thee on thy journey. There are pitfalls and cunning traps before thee. And it has a very, I like how the tree represents a spiritual power, a goddess or godlike power that should be heeded, that should be listened to. But this woman in her stubbornness, or perhaps because she sees herself being somewhere beautiful, somewhere she doesn't want to leave, refuses to hear the warning that's being given to her. So brilliant storytelling and very well done. And
thanks.
Jean, your thoughts?
You know, Kate, I thought this was another wonderful, great tale told by you. I really enjoyed the personification of the tree, and I like the exchange between the maiden and the tree. And I like when she says, who art thou? And says, I'm the oldest living thing upon this planet. I wish to aid and guide thee on thy journey. You know, some maidens are just hard-headed. But, you know, they just are. But, it says, where are you? And it says, where is it? I just saw it. I'm beside thee, but thou seest me not, for neither do I jump nor run. I am immobile. If this be some jest played on me, it amuses not. Leave my sacred garden and never return. Yeah, hard-headed. Then it says, I tried, said the ancient tree. And once more I failed. She'll be sacrificed as those before her. There's not a whole lot of words in that, but there's a whole lot of feeling that I get from it as I read it, you know, and I think that's what I like the most is the fact that it makes me feel something. And the image, I think it was a great take on the image all the way through, and I think that, a very well done piece. So thanks for sharing, girlfriend.
Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely. And great comment, Jean. Kate, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Well, as I said before, when I was looking through all these beautiful art pieces, and I was looking at them and thinking, oh, I'd like to write to that perhaps, or perhaps this. And, you know, you go through them all, don't you, to see what there is that you could do with them. And I came to this one, and I just thought, yes. She's in this sacred garden. She's having a great little time to herself, and there's this beautiful tree outside, and it looks like it's special. It looks like a special tree, and that just came to me. And why I think, why I thought that she was in danger, or why I thought the tree could help her, I could not tell you. But when I got to the bit about leave my sacred garden and never return, I thought, yeah, that's it. She's now got no chance. And that was how I ended it. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed writing it.
Oh, good. I'm glad. And I'm glad you are inspired. And, yeah, I know what you mean, because sometimes you just, when you're looking through prompts, you just come across that one prompt that really speaks to you. And that's the one you have to go with. I get that. So,
yeah
and I'm absolutely glad you were inspired.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. And up next we have The Colors of Father Time by A.R. Mundell. Father Time drips like candle wax poured into the pages of all we've been. Those hourglass moments slip like sand to wash back up upon our blazing shores. Each page of the books turned by centuries of hands slowly engulfed within his setting wax, becoming fixtures held in place within his white cavern walls, immortalized like waxwork sculptures dripping like stalactites into fossils of lore. Our searching fingers scrape at his walls, unearthing those fallen to his yawning grasp, each thin scraping pressed into the known between hard covers of scrutiny, bound by spines to be housed within our great library of all we know of him. Walking those great halls, you'll see thousands of arms stretched in supplication, the guards keeping them at bay, the bars confining them, the mountains beyond their reach. Smiling children, scenes of triumph, the subtlety of the everyday. Flower dotted on a nose, names engraved upon a tree, a stormy frown upon a brow, an imagination enraptured by mystery. Stalactite wax dripping from screaming mouths onto poppies sown by blood beside pearlescent ponds, hooves frozen in the freezing mire, their backs straddled by fur-clad fires with gleaming blades. Nightingales caught mid-song, watched evermore by the intense gaze of a falcon, panpipes poised upon a mouth, a forlorn gaze fixed on a wave, shoals drip down from the ceiling, shark teeth jut from the wall, great tales of ancient things peek out from further in. Each new twist and bend, every new archway navigated, brings new wonders and horrors, all looming around each corner, climbing the walls and reaching through the floors. Billions of years of tiny moments caught like amber and crystallized, held in place by waxen time, which shall never wane again. The wax melts onto a canvas of colors, smearing its melted moments to every corner of that vast palette. Mountains dissolved, a thousand years of flowers crystallized into a single flare of pink. The seas splash at its corners, and people are specks scattered among its swirls. Time holds the evil, stretches himself across the wooden bars and melts upon his expanse in a chaotic kaleidoscope, the artist, the inspiration, and the beholder. End poem. Wow, what an absolutely stunning vignette written by A.R. Mundell. And Kate, your thoughts?
Well, I had a look at the prompt that you worked to, and it's spot on. I mean, we have Father Time melting everything that he is holding. I think it must be that, yeah, an hourglass, of course it is. Yeah, and everything within that hourglass is slowly sliding through and slipping away. So beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. The Colors of Father Time. Each new twist and bend, every new archway navigated, brings new wonders and horrors all looming around each corner, climbing the walls and reaching through the floors. I think it was beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. And as I say, And it worked to the prompt beautifully. You can see the screaming faces. You can see the people who are basically just, oh, just have a little rest. And the other people who are terrified. I think it's brilliant. Very well done, Amy. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I had a pretty good idea of which one she had painted to. Or not painted to. Well, she did paint with her words. But that she had written to. But I did have to peek as soon as I was done reading. And, yeah, I thought she captured that very well with the phrasing of Father Time melting. So great comment. And, Jean, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought this was another excellent take on the chosen prompt. Wonderful imagery and such a great story told here. You know, as soon as she started talking about the melting up towards the top, I was like, yes. And I went and I double-checked myself because, you know, I had the number. And I thought that she just really, she did a great job. And then the further down you went, then all of a sudden she gets the wax melts onto a canvas of colors. And I thought that, mentioning it again further down, I think, kind of reestablished the thoughts that she was getting into. But just wonderful, wonderful imagery. And I think she nailed the feelings in the image itself. I have to say that. You know, it was just a really well done piece. And Amy is very, she's a good poet. She really is. I wish we saw more of her. I don't know how I could see more of her when, you know, I see her a lot. But I want more, you know, always. So it was just excellent. And I thought that it was a great job. And thank you for sharing with us, Amy. And hope to see you again soon. Wonderful work. Really nice.
Absolutely, yeah. I have to agree. I'm always thrilled when I see Amy in one of our contests. You know, her poetry is always beautiful to read. Like I said, this is a wonderful vignette. I really like the flow and the word choices and the imagery. She really reflects the painting well, but not just describing the painting, but bringing out the sense of spirituality within it, and the sense of how time can be oftentimes, well, it's often feared or feels overwhelming, but it's also something we learn from. Like, I really like how she speaks on the idea of how we learn from history, you know. Our searching fingers scrape at its walls, unearth those fallen to his yawning gas, each thin scraping pressed into the known between hard covers of scrutiny, bound by spines to be housed within our great library of all we know of him. You know, wonderful lines on the idea of trying to learn about time, trying to understand time, and yet never really being able to. I also like how She got really dark imagery within stalactite wax dripping from screaming mouths onto poppies sown by blood beside pearlescent ponds. That to me reflects on the idea that through war and other violent acts, often people's time runs out sooner than it was truly meant to. You know, stunning right all the way through. And the last section, the ending part, chaotic kaleidoscope was a wonderful phrasing. And I like how she ends with the artist, the inspiration, and the beholder. So it's that relationship between the artist, his creation, and then how it the person who looks at the art, who beholds the art, adds new life to it. So wonderful, right, Amy? I'm glad you were inspired and very well done.
Very cool, B.
Thank you very much. Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I got momentarily distracted that the dogs started snarling at each other.
They probably don't recognize each other. Remember, they got a haircut.
Yeah, right? I would like to say that's it, but no, Nana gets into my bedroom and she gets very protective of it. So, you know, Happy, the younger dog, comes along and she's like, back off, this is my territory. Okay. All right. Well, up next we have, let me click on this, make sure I have the title right. Yep, Of Sway and Satiation by Blue Harrison. And Kate, would you give that a read for us, please?
I certainly will. Of Sway and Satiation. I've nestled here deep within wooden arms, along with my wine cask, upended, drained to the final taste. Confident, with sated curve seated, belly round to hold more than what life has so far cared to grace me with, I've married oblivion. A lover that fawns over me when moon becomes a waxen mess, and my dress is telltale of deluges and indulgences I could never admit. He speaks into my hair of all that he finds comely, black-winged birds, the slur run of speak fluttering from my lips, and that swaying grip I have on this world that never really was equipped to love me. End poem.
Beautiful read there, Kate, and what a wonderful write by Blue Harrison. I was glad to see that she was inspired. Brilliant and beautiful imagery and metaphors. This is romantic and sensual. And I really like this all the way through, but especially a lover that fawns over me when moon becomes a waxen mess and my dress is telltale of deluges and indulgence I would never admit. He speaks into my hair of all that he finds comely, black-winged birds, the slur run on speak fluttering from my lips. And I like how this speaks on the idea to me of a love of someone, wanting someone who loves you, not despite your imperfections, but because of your imperfection, because of the whole of yourself. They truly admire you and don't need or want you to change. There's just a real sense of desire to be loved for yourself. And for your own. I think it speaks on feminine energy and feminine power very well. Strong imagery throughout and very well done. And your thoughts, Jean?
You know, I thought this was nicely penned. Gorgeous imagery and a wonderful take on the chosen prompts. You know, when you look at the image, it's like, okay, you know exactly, you can see exactly what she's talking about. But without the image, it holds just as much weight. It reads just as well, and you're not missing anything. You know, you're not, with or without the image, it doesn't matter. Because either way, it's wonderful, and it was a great job. I love the imagery. I love the thoughts throughout. I thought it was just really nicely done. You know, I'm with you on the two stanzas that you plucked out, Pam, when you were reading it. You know, the lover, the fawns over me, and he speaks into my hair. Just really nicely done, and I think she started it off well. You know, I've nestled here deep within wooden arms along with my wine cask, upended, drained to the final taste. You know, I mean, she just nailed the image all the way through in this, and I think that she really did a great job. And her, you know, her final stanza and last line, you know, put her take on the image. You know, that's where she made it more personalized with the thoughts and ideas behind it, and I think that it was just well done.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree, because of using the first person narrative, she definitely did make it more a personal take on the image. So I thought that was very cool. Great observation. And Kate, your thoughts?
Yes, it does. You're looking at that picture and you're thinking exactly what she's thinking. It's romantic. It's sweet. She thinks she's got what she wants. She thinks she's going to get what she wants. but it's just missing something. There's just something not quite right. Maybe it's too easy, maybe it's too comfortable, maybe it's what she thinks she wants but doesn't actually deep down want. But, as I say, beautifully written, very well done. And it's given me a lot to think about, which I like as well. I'm just thinking to myself, is this what she really wants? And she's now finding out it's not. But yes, wonderfully written to the prompt, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you, Blue, for sharing with us.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. I do have to agree. It is one of those poems that really makes you think, and that is one of the beautiful things about poetry, you know, that it gives you food for thought. So,
yeah.
Great comment, Kate. All right, and let's see what we have next. All right, up next we have Some Understanding by Ben Hart. And Kate, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yes, certainly. I have got to refresh, please bear with me. Got it. Ha-ha, got you, Ben. Maybe not the word you want to hear, but I've got you. Some Understanding. Found. Human being, what is it like to be so divine, to be so tiny, to be tiny for a while and then so grand, with clefts in your hands, staring up at the sky, and amid something you know you're not meant to understand, find something understanding that you have a heart with a few bruises and scars that were just false starts, that shines a lonely light as an act of defiance against the dark, against the quiet. A little cafe on the corner. Athesiana thinks I am an old soul, that I sold that baby long ago to a man in Stetson with a pixelated face, and now he's come collecting, and I don't think I'll win that race. And Jeremy pulls pigtails on the playground, but only ever Pam's, and loves making bubbles in the bath. In short, Jeremy is a happy man. We'll never change, kid. This is the best it will get. Your mother's mac and cheese with ham. And Daniel is a kind man, the late night Mr. Rogers. And Daniel loves the ladies, and the ladies love him back. And with the captain explaining WW2 facts, he's just patiently waiting. And Kate is a bonny lass, watching God's moorlands and glens, the fallows and fens, chasing the frogs and the hens through the garden. She tends for a friend. And Jean is mighty mean, but she keeps us all safe, and Selena will reach you to speak like you mean it. And though Barbara is getting lost for a while, she'll be back in a day. And there's a man whose eyes are grey, and a man whose voice by gods was made, and they all take good care of the words they were given because they understand the weight that they came with and died there. Tomorrow is not where we're going, but we'll be all right, and we'll show the forest. There's still growth in the absence of light. End poem.
Great read, Kate, and a wonderful write by Ben, as always. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this write was intriguing, because when it started out, I didn't have any clue that it was going to go into a little cafe on the corner. So I kind of was like, okay, you know, because human being, what is it like to be so divine, to be tiny for a while, and then so grand, with clefts in your hands staring up at the sky? And I'm going, okay. But then it started to get down into this cafe on the corner, and there's Aphasiana, there's Jeremy, there's you, there's Kate, there's Dan, you know, there's Captain B2. So one of the heck am I always end up being me? You know, as you walk around with a chip on my back. Yeah, I mean, good heavens. Well, I've been called a bear before. And then Stelina, you know, she's in there as well, and Babbler. And I thought it was just, it just kind of turned me around and got me totally off track of the beginning of it, because I got wrapped up in the story of what he was going on about all of us or each of us, except for the fact I'm me. Well, Ben and I will have to talk about that later. Just saying.
you know, and then great comment. Well, hey, be thankful. I mean, come on. You're protective. Kate is a bonnie lass. The only damn thing I'm doing is standing around letting Jeremy pull my damn pigtails. Like, what the hell is that?
I just looked and it was like,
no, you'll be taking my pigtails and dipping them in the inkwell.
Yeah, right. Well, I could picture that whole scenario with you and Jeremy. But,
yeah,
you know, hey,
I would probably end up with some fighting going on, but yeah, something like that. But
yeah,
excellent comment.
Yeah.
and you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Oh, yes, I thought it was very nice. I really enjoyed it. And like you, I was taken aback when I started to read the names. I mean, I obviously twigged when I saw Faziana, because who else could that be? You know, it's the only person I know with that name. But, and then we got further on and further on, and then I got Jeremy pulling your pigtails and loves making bubbles in the bath. Well, we know how he's doing that. Daniel is a kind man, the late night Mr. Rogers, and Daniel loved the ladies. And Captain B2, yeah. I loved it. I thought it was great. Everybody had their little bits and pieces said about them. And Jean, you're not mean. We're both going to have
I don't know. They all
said
I am.
Well, I've never
they
said it. Pat never said it. Don't listen to them. They know nothing. Honestly.
There you go. Okay. I won't pay them any mind.
I don't know about that. I have to say, I consider Jean one of my dearest friends, and I'd be the first one to admit that when that woman wants to get mean, she can.
That's true. That's why they call me Mama Bear. I get a little, pesky sometimes.
I'll give you that, Pam. I'll give you that. I agree. That's true. Oh, it was very well done. I really enjoyed it. It was lovely to see him talking about everyone. And it was just nice. I just thought it was very sweet. Lovely.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. It really was. I have to agree. I have to agree. You know, wonderful comments. Yeah, this did take an unexpected turn, but it was a pleasant turn. It was nice the way he paid tribute and gave a nod to many of our hosts and hostesses. You know, and I really thought this was a nice vignette all the way through. I did like how the first stanza spoke on the divinity of the human spirit. And from that, he goes on to all these people that he knows that represents that light, that represents, you know, that opportunity for light and personal growth. You know, so wonderful lines and very well done.
Well, Pam, I got to tell you, your pigtail puller is here. You better be careful.
Oh, uh-oh. No.
You're warned.
Uh-oh.
Yep. They don't kill.
Oh, man. I don't know if you ever, guys ever read or watched Anne of Green Gables, where the boy behind her is pulling her on her braids, and she turns around and smashes the chalkboard over his head.
Oh, my God.
That'll be me and Jeremy. I'll have to start carrying a chalkboard around.
Ah, dear. Love it.
great right, Ben. I'm glad you were inspired. All right, and let's see what we have next. Up next, we have The Only Son of God by the warrior poet. And Jean, will you give that a read for us, please?
Uh-huh. And here, this is yours and Jeremy's emoji. So, let me Okay. This is "The Only Son of God" by the warrior poet. Stretching up to God, the Father, his only son, Jesus Christ, take me to your side, Father. Within the rain and the snows, stretching up to God, the angel, on your wings of love, take me to my Father in heaven with the rays of the sun. Stretching up to God in, stretching up to God, the in heaven, from this world of unbelievers. Father, I have risen to show mankind how to live and be kind and home.
Pam, you're on mute, my dear.
I am, and I even tapped the screen, but apparently it didn't register. Yes, I was on mute, and I was going to say that great read, Jean, and I thought this is a wonderful spiritual rite, which worked well for this particular artwork. I like how he speaks on faith without necessarily being, you know, overly preachy. I really like stretching up to God, the angels, lift me on your wings of love. Take me to my Father in heaven with the rays of the sun. It kind of makes me think of that Bette Midler song, Wind Beneath My Wings. Like, I don't know if she was the one who originally sang the song, but she's well known for it. But I like how this speaks on that connection between mankind and the heavens and reaching for it. And I also really like the ending where he says, Father, I have risen to show mankind how to live and be kind. I like that play on words with mankind and kind, and also the idea of Christ being a teacher of kindness, but also that we are all meant to be teachers of love and kindness, you know, through our words and especially through our actions. So wonderful, right, and very well done. And Kate, your thoughts?
Yes, I agree. This is beautifully written. And yet I also agree that we should always be kind to each other. You think about it, you automatically protect and care and look after your family and then after them, your friends, without even thinking about it. They are your people and you will look after them. But you think about that on a wider scale. We should, you know, this is our city. We should look after each other. This is our world. We should look after each other. And that's the way I would love to see it going. I don't know why it's not. I don't know what's happened. We haven't ever changed. There's always been a power struggle. There's always been people who want what you have. There's always been people who want more than they have. There's always those who have money and those who don't. So I don't think it's ever going to change. I think we are just on this roller coaster to nowhere. And I think this is the kind of poetry that is good for people to read, because it does make you think, makes you think about other people. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And yes, unfortunately, greed is a big downfall of humanity nowadays. So wonderful comment. And your thoughts, Jean?
You know, this is a wonderful take on the chosen prompt. I couldn't help but put the image up in the room, because if nobody knew what the image was, they'd be like, where did you get this? You know, if they hadn't looked at them all. And I thought that he did an incredible job expressing it. And and I feel that it totally did reflect the prompt well. Just because I was reading it, and I'm like, which images? Because there was a couple that, you know, I thought were very spiritual. But when I went and I looked and I looked at prompt 30, I went, yep, that'll do. That'll do it. That'll work 100%. So it was just three stanzas, you know, wonderful brevity, reflecting exactly, you know, what he meant to say. Stretching up to God the Father is that hand reaching into the air. Stretching up to God the angel. Stretching up to God in heaven. you know, totally each line hit upon the prompt, and I thought that it was just really well done. A nice job, Warrior Poet. Really liked it all. Nice work.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, he's someone whose writing I just recently discovered. He's been writing for more of our contests. So
nice.
I really appreciate that. And it's always great to see new names and new poetry. So, all right. Well, up next, I've put my poem, which I'll read. And then, Jean, if you don't mind, after I'm done reading comments, I would appreciate that. All right. And this is Milkweed Glowing in Shadows. Ravens roam a golden sky, moonlight melting in silk strands of milkweed glowing. Love's embrace is a warm welcome of ethereal bliss blossoming. Elements merge in shape-shifter shadows, water and earth caressing, whispering secrets to hearts twined together. Intoxicated on wine and music, the night reveals hope and desire. Eyes shining like stars, falling across the breath within the gentle bosom, fluttering. Naked branches rising towards mountain peaks, roots planted deep in soil seeded with the stories of trees. A kiss exchanged between lovers, living joyfully the song of the woods. End poem.
Nice, man, nice. Okay, Kate, you want to kick us off on this?
Yes, of course, I'd love to. I think this is beautiful. I mean, I think that picture, that painting is beautiful, so you've just brought everything to life for me. But I did love that first stanza. Ravens roam, a golden sky, moonlight melting in silk strands of milkweeds glowing. I thought it was beautiful. And then you go on and on about them, and the wine and the music, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that just sounds so wonderful. Eyes shining like stars falling across the breath with his gentle bosom fluttering. And I'm thinking, yes, this is a lovely evening, and I really think it's love at first sight. And then you have that last stanza, a kiss exchanged between lovers living joyfully, the song of the woods. I mean, that last line, the song of the woods, just so beautiful. Oh, you know I love trees. I mean, I'm a tree hugger. It's a disease. There's nothing I can do about it. But I thought that just spoke to me.
I love that. Thank you, Kate.
You know, Pam, this is beautiful. It has such beautiful imagery throughout. And I think that, you know, it's a fabulous reflection of the prompt. Absolutely. You know, so the beauty of the rite and the image, it all just ties together so beautifully. I love how you started it. Ravens roam a golden sky, moonlight melting in sands, in silk strands of milky glow glowing. You know, and really they are the darkest parts of the image, just about are those two ravens and a little bit around the edges, you know. So I thought that was really, it was something good to to mention, you know what I mean? And you pulled it in very well. And again, this does not need the image to be, well done. You know, the image with or without is no big deal. You know, the image just kind of adds a little picture, you know, to look at. But I think the words speak for themselves totally. Love's embrace is a warm welcome of ethereal bliss blossoming. You know, and then here, elements merge in shapeshifter shadow, water and earth caressing, whispering secrets, the heart twined together. Just lovely, lovely wording all through. It's a great image, and I think you really did it justice by writing this, definitely. And I loved your title, you know, Milkweed Glowing in Shadows. Wonderful job, hon.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the ravens part because I do like to take the small details of a painting and try to work that into my poetry. So, very cool.
I understand that. Absolutely.
Yeah. But our last poem for the night is Father Time by Weaver of Dreams. And Kate, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Woo-hoo. I certainly will. I just found this because I know that we didn't have, you know, as much as we would like to have. But now I can't find it. Hang on. That was so clever. Oh, yeah, I've got it. Right. This is very loosely based on a prompt, so bear with me. This is a time filler. Imagine if you look back at your time here to find you'd wasted a lot of it on reflecting. If you might liven it up a little, add some music, make it count, turn it around, be more exciting. We've become aware that time can be so flexible. It slows down when we have to face a dull event, only to speed up as we find ourselves enthralled. It's in a circular trap, counting the hours spent. But there's no control, mean we've not to blame. Oh no, sorry, I need to read my own words. But there's no control, mean we're not to blame. We are prisoners of time's varied ebb and flow. We may turn up late because our job is nullifying, or not at all, because we've somewhere else to go. End poem.
Great read there, Kate. And I'm glad you put this one on the board because, you know, it's a pre-write that fits really well with the prompts that have to do with the passing of time, you know, like the melting wax, even the sense of movement. So it fits really well. And I love that you brought in a poem about time to fill time. That just made me smile. You know, I really thought this was a wonderful write on the way that we allow time to control our lives, and that oftentimes we're so worried about time coming to an end that we forget to live life to the fullest. I really like where in that middle stanza. You know, we've become aware that time can be so flexible. It slows down when we have to face a dull event, only to speed up if we find ourselves enthralled. And that is so true. So wonderful, right, Kate? And Jean, your thoughts?
Yeah, I have to agree with you totally, Pam. I thought this was just a really well-done piece. I was trying to figure out how to word something, but Pam read the center stanza, and I said, you know, why fight it, right? Just go with your words, Kate. You know, we've become aware that time can be so flexible. It slows down when we have to face the boldness, only to speed up if we find ourselves enthralled. It's in a circular trap, counting the hours spent. How true is it? You know, I mean, when you're kind of not looking forward to something, or sometimes when you are looking forward to something, it just takes forever to get. You know, and I thought that was just really well said because it's true. It's true. Something we all live with, you know.
Yeah.
We all know that it's 1 second at a time and, you know, there's 60 minutes an hour and it's, you know, 24 hours in a day. But you know what? Some days fly past. I don't care what anybody says, you know, and it's hard to believe that it doesn't change from day to day, from, you know, minute to minute, it just is. So I find it to be so so true, so flipping true. But it was a great piece, and thanks for putting it on the board. Pam, did we clear the board?
We did. The only thing I had was one extra classic poem in case it was needed. And so, yes.
Yay.
Yes. I have to say this was a wonderful show. Thank you, Jean and Kate, as always, for being my Twisted Sisters. I truly enjoy hanging out with both of you.
That's awesome.
And yes. And thank you to everyone who wrote for the show. Thank you to everyone who's listening while we are on live or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. And thank you to Jenny, Mel C, and Jeremy for hanging on the board. And join us tomorrow night, Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. You can join Gray Eyes Smith for The Art of Seduction. And Dean, anything you'd like to say in closing?
Yep, just a wonderful show tonight, Pam. Great prompts, poetry. great company, great friends, great comments. I mean, what more is there to say? It was wonderful. And, yes, thanks to everybody who showed up on the board tonight. It was nice to see you all. And I look forward to the next time. You all behave yourselves.
No.
Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Have a good
night, my dears. Good night. Love you both. Good night.
Love you too, girlfriend. Bye-bye.